bride aids, like you've come for your bride, but a personal, Lord, that we're a part of that, Lord, and you're here in our hearts, Lord, person to person, each one can testify with their life, Lord, that you are here in our life, Lord. You've called us unto yourself, Lord, and where we was in the beginning, Lord, representation, Lord, may you just come and anoint that, Lord, be with us today, as be with the speaker, Lord, and the words that are spoken, and just minister to our hearts, Lord, and may we be expecting that from you, Lord, be with those that are sick and suffering, Lord, any needs upon the hearts, those that are longing that you put a desire to draw us closer to you, Lord, may we just increase that, Lord, and just fulfill it, Lord, and those that are struggling with the flesh or the challenges of this life, Lord, may you minister to them, Lord, as your word promises to do so. And we ask these blessings now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'll read a few verses here. This is Psalms 95. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is also his. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart. They have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Amen. Thank the Lord that he has shown us these types and these patterns, that we cannot, that we will not be in that state where we're hardening our hearts for his presence and his word. Amen.
Right.
But we will enter into his rest. Amen. Reading a little bit, and I thought this was real nice here. He said, oh, lead me to the rock, Lord. Lead me to that rock that's higher than I. It's a shelter in a time of storm. Lead me, oh Lord, lead me. I don't want to stay in this world. I don't want to be left here to be consumed with it. They that live by the sword shall perish by the sword. I was thinking that you live by the sword. If you live by anything, as Brother Chris has pointed out, anything you can do, anything of yourself, right? You can go bring out something in the message and live by that. You know, that's not going to get it. It's going to be him doing everything.
That's right.
They that live by the sword shall perish by the sword. They that live in the world shall die with the world. They that live for this world and in this world will perish in the atomic blast. It's just atomic fodder. Amen. And we're so glad that we don't live by the things of this world or the life this world produces.
Amen. That's right.
Let's sing this chorus here. Actually, I wanted to sing this, Be It Unto Me. I think this is the one that you know. Y'all have to help me sing it. I don't, can't remember the tune. It's the second page in the red book there. Second or third. We were singing a few times some months ago, but
who had not known a man, an angel came revealing her place in God's great plan. The world would sure reject her, the child would be despised, but humbly she submitted and from her heart replied, be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. Gladly I am hearing, a life within me stirs. Be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. Behold the hands made of the Lord. And when our Savior walked here, most people failed to see that in behind the flesh veil there dwelt all deity. In him we went to judgment, he bore our agony. He hid us in his bosom and walked to Calvary. Be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. Praying in the garden, Lord, not my will but thine. Be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. Behold the perfect sacrifice. Now in this final hour, God's bride, a virgin, stands. Her godly soul within her, it knows no creeds of man. From mortal to immortal, impossible it seems. But God's word has been spoken, and so she can proclaim. Be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. Gladly I am hearing, your life within me stirs. Be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. Behold the hands made of. In God's great plan, the world would sure reject her, the child would be despised, but humbly she submitted, and from her heart replied, be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. Gladly I am unto me according to thy word, Lord. Behold the hands made of the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's beautiful. Amen. Let's sing this chorus, He Didn't Throw the Clay Away, key of F, over and over.
Fashions the clay as soon.
beyond the veil.
Press on.
Stand up. Can you remember the just say the ones you did last time, I believe. All right, Hope.
Abstain from the very parent of evil.
Render not evil for evil.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
All right. Got one y'all can sing. My God is so big. Is that? Okay.
Table of
that flows from the mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful you've kept us healthy and brought us back together again today, Lord. Not just healthy in the flesh, Lord, but most of all, healthy in our walk, Lord, in our relationship. And not just healthy, Lord, but we got real rosy cheeks, Lord, because we've gotten so much closer to you, Lord, in every single day. Lord, we are rejoicing, Lord, in your truth, rejoicing, and at the same time feel so small, Lord, that you would be mindful of us. We're so grateful, Lord. Pray that you'll pour out your blessings now to us. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I saw a quote earlier this week. Somebody had put it out there on the forum about the Live and Miss sermon. It said something about, they were talking about people saying all these things, but Brother Branham said he'd rather you live him a sermon. And they said that Brother Branham, he always talked about no women preachers, but he turned right around and he said that you mothers are preachers to your children. Yeah. Your life, you know, and the way you teach them and bring them up. And he even said one time that mothers were the backbone of a nation. I believe that's why we got so much problem now. There's still some good mothers out there, but there's a lot that are more interested in themselves than their own children. And so that's why we got such a mess. But that's not what I come to talk about. What I mentioned that for is that it got me thinking about all the things. See, anybody who knows how to speak can preach a sermon. But there ain't nobody can live one but God. Period. And just like Michael had mentioned there, and not only that, I mean, no part of the word are you going to manufacture. And it's, Satan can be real sneaky about it. Because Brother Branham talked about in this day that men would humble their spirit enough that the Holy Spirit would come on them and people would believe enough to be healed and things like that. And do signs and wonders and stuff. But only God is the healer. See how deceiving it is. God's the only one that's going to heal. But they're not going to live the life. There's some that won't. They can be healed. They can preach. They can preach the truth. And then not live the truth. And we've seen it too many times. Now, I've seen where at the time I was there. In that same place. And it's become something that has pressed at me over the last couple years, that it's very important in this hour. Brother Branham said, if this is the most deceiving hour, then we should be as close to him as we can get. And not just as close, he needs to be dwelling in us. And he needs to be doing the works. We don't want to find out in the end that we were doing it. That we were putting on our dresses. We were keeping our hair long. We weren't telling dirty jokes. We were staying away from the drinking places. We don't want that at the end. We don't want at the end that we went to this certain church that preached the truth because, well, that's what we felt like we should do. They're preaching the truth and that's where we go. And then we turn around, we leave, and we do whatever we want the rest of the week. We don't want to come to the end. Nobody wants to come there. And you see so much sincerity in the wrong. You see, it's so sincere. And you, Brother Bram said, you would not get any more sincere than those Sadducees and Pharisees were. where he said they could take the scroll that the Bible was wrote on and stick a pen through the scroll and stop and measure how far it went in. And they knew that scripture so good they could tell you what that meant. Now, do you know how long that would take to do that? Do you know that those men were in that word every single day of their lives? They were in it. And he talked about these Catholic nuns and the different ones that put all their life into these things, believe in these things, but it's in something that's wrong. And we know that when that first church age started, that Jesus said, I have aught with you, because already something, you've lost your first love. And the first love was an abandoned faith in God. Just abandon everything else and put faith in God. That's what they had started to lean away from. They'd started not to live that way altogether. And if that's where it starts, that's where it starts now. That's where Satan started to bring it apart over there. And that's where he's trying to do it today. And Brother Branham talked about the denominations. He's successful with them in this day. And even the ones that are denominated around the message, he's successful in getting them to not put faith upon the Lord entirely and to depend on this, to figure it out, to depend on group thinking. These group, they think this. So they come up with a group idea. And Brother Branham said that oneness is every individual in the body is one with God. And that makes you one together. You're not one because you all got together and nodded your head the same, or you stood up and waved your hands and said amen the same. You're one because inside of you is the same God that's inside the next person. That's what makes you one. You're one with him first. And because you're one with him, you're one with the rest of them that are one with him. And it's not something you have to go check with the other one to find out if you're one. You don't have to check with them. You know you're one. Like we talked about knowing you're an eagle. You know that you're an eagle. You don't have any question about it. And Brother Branham said we know that because we see the word in our lives. Not because we're working the word in our lives, but because we cherish the word in our lives for some reason why we don't know. And because of that, from that comes the life, comes these things that are written in the scripture. He makes us written epistles. So I was thinking about those things, about how that you can preach a sermon. You can even go act a sermon. You can even not be a preacher and still go around preaching to other people and talking to them about it. And you don't believe it yourself. See it happening. So how do you know? We just said, how do you know? And that's how. Because God is doing it. Now you look down through the scripture, and Brother Branham, over the years, he labored to point out to us all down through the scripture, all these different places where these things were taking place. And we read here a while back, remember we read the quote, Brother Branham said that you just take the word and you speak it and you just stay with it and he brings it to pass. Now you go back through the Bible and see where he got that. You're not going to see where it is just wrote out just like that. But if you go back through the Bible, you'll see where Daniel stayed by the word. Brother Branham said Daniel stayed by the word and God provided protection from the lions. The three Hebrew children, they just stood by the word. Daniel didn't make some proclaimant that the lions aren't going to get me. It was the word. He stood with the word, and then nothing else mattered. And you'll find that, and if you'll read the rest of Luke 12 when you get home, you'll see that Jesus is telling them that seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then everything else will be added to you. Everything else will be added. Seek ye first the kingdom. Once you're in the kingdom, you live by the king. And there's too many people in this world want to do it another way.
and they want to not live by faith. All of us have been there. I would think that everybody's come through those struggles. But for those who haven't, or maybe they don't recognize it or something, I thought we would go through some of this. Maybe this, maybe one other service. But we'll just see how it goes. But this is in Luke 12. And I messed up there and didn't put the whole range. It's supposed to be 22 to 26. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. Now, did he tell them, don't go work? He didn't, because we know we go work for the sweat of our brow. But he said, don't think no thought about it. Don't worry about it. Don't get upset about it. Just go do what he tells you to do. Go work, and then let the Lord take care of everything. But now listen, he keeps on bringing it further and further, because it's not just those things. It's not just the fleshly things. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have a storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? And if ye then be not able to do the thing which is the least, if you can't even add one cubit to your stature, why take ye thought for the rest? If you can't do the least thing by thinking about it, then how are you going to do any more? Why even think about it anymore? That's what he's saying. Where is he pushing them and placing them? Now, we'll get the rest of that scripture. If y'all want to read it, you can read it when you get home. But we'll get the rest of it in the next service. But he's telling them, you can't take thought to the and make the least thing happen. So why try to take thought for the rest of it? Well, with that thought, let's go look at some of these things and see what he means by taking thought. I seen a woman raise her hand just then, back in the building, praising the Lord. It was Hattie Wright, sitting down there. When she had two boys, if they'll excuse me in saying this, renegades, boys of the world. That little woman sitting there that day, a widow. And I said, Hattie, the Lord God, you've said the right thing. Now, how did she know to say the right thing? How did Abraham knew to have faith? How did Joshua know to speak to this to the sun and tell it to stand still? Hattie, the Lord God, you've said the right thing. He provided those squirrels. He's Jehovah Jireh. She said, that's nothing but the truth of God. She didn't need any kind of proof for him to come back the next day and say he found the one under the log that he said he couldn't find while he was up there. Remember that? Remember he was up there and he hunted all around and it got dark and he couldn't find that one. And he come back down and told them. And one of the brothers prayed, I hope he finds it. Hattie Wright didn't need that. She knew not beyond because Brother Branham found it, because Brother Branham had him in his hand, because she knows there's no squirrels in a sycamore. I think that's the tree he talked about. She didn't need none of that. She had something else completely telling her that that was the word of God. That's nothing but the truth of God. Oh, she said the right thing. It seems incredible that a human being could speak a word, .. As Brother Booth told you, as dirty and filthy as we are, who is he that sits back yonder beyond the moon and stars and all space and time and eternity? As even Booth said it, And I read the same thing the other day, reading Irenaeus, that even the angels are dirty in his sight. Who are we? Remember the angels? They were flying with two. They had covered their feet with two and their face with two. Who are we? But a woman said the right thing. That caused the heart of Jehovah. Now, who interprets his own word? God interprets his own word. By inspiration, she's just there, standing by the word, doing what she's supposed to. Brother Bram said she's on the back of a farm there and didn't make $100 a year. I think it's the word he said, $100 a year. And would bring him jars of jelly and these other things down there. Put in money in the offering and stuff like that. And she didn't have anything. But she had that. She had that. It meant more to her than anything in this world. And when she said those words, despite anybody's reasoning, thinking, didn't care what who said what or thought what, God spoke in her heart and she spoke out and called it what it was, the truth. And when she did, that spoke to the heart of Jehovah, is what he said. That called the heart of Jehovah. The provider said, ask her what she wants. When she said that, God spoke to him. Don't miss that. Jehovah, it called to Jehovah what she said, what she said about what God was doing in the prophet. It called to Jehovah. And who spoke after that? Jehovah spoke back through the prophet and said, tell her, ask her what she wants. Like God didn't know what she wanted. Talk about writing a Bible. Ask her what she wants and then give it to her. Amen. Incredible, but right, but true. Right here now in our sight is visible evidence. She asked for her boys' souls to be Christians. God gave her her desire. Incredible. That was more of a miracle than healing a sick person. That's changing a man's life, soul, body, and all he is. It changed his makeup. Incredible, but true. It was a paradox. We see it everywhere. It's all in the message. It's all in the Bible. Where the thing that you don't expect to happen, happens. God always hides, and they always miss him. He always, when he's come, he's come. Every time he's come, they miss him. Every time he does something, they miss it. All right, so now in paradox, this is the message paradox. Let's turn to Joshua, the 10th chapter. Begin reading at the 12th verse. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still over Gibeon. Through the words of a man, not just everything on the earth listened, but the heavens listened. This is God. And he said, in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still over Gibeon, and moon over the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemy. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. Why did he hearken unto the voice? Because the Lord was doing the fighting. Mm-hmm. Now, remember what we talked about Joshua before. Joshua was told what to do, and Joshua just went and done it. Mm-hmm. He didn't think about nothing else, just went and done it. God loves that. It's the word. That's it. There's a whole lot of people makes that claim. Oh, yeah, if it's the word, I believe it. But I wonder sometimes how many really do. Now, according to Webster, a paradox is something that seems incredible, but it's true. Therefore, a paradox then would be the same as a miracle. A paradox is when something that seems like it just couldn't be, the knowledge of human mind, so it could just seems like the human mind says that can't be. It's altogether incredible, but yet it's proven true. So it has nothing to do with the human mind because the human mind can't even think about it. It's incredible to it. It's not even what it thought was going to be. Now, a miracle would be the same thing, for a miracle cannot be explained. Paradox. Can't be explained. That's what he was just saying. A miracle is something that happens and you cannot explain it and make it makes it a paradox. It's incredible, but yet it's the truth. And I looked in Webster's, and down lower in the Webster's dictionary there, it talks about the Greek, where this word came from in the Greek. Now listen to this. It's exactly what Brother Branham is saying here. The ancient Greeks were well aware that a paradox can take us outside of our usual way of thinking. They combined the prefix para, which means beyond or outside of, with the verb doking, to think. So to think beyond, to think outside of everything that's happened. So it's somebody else's thinking. It's not your thinking. It's not your faith. God give you faith. It's the faith. To think, forming paradoxes. I don't know how to say that. And an adjective meaning contrary to expectation. So it's contrary to what people expect. And if you look, every time God moved, it was that way. So it's not your thinking, it's God's thinking. And what did Brother Branham say when happens when you're born again? He said, it's not your will. It's not your thinking anymore. It's not your mind. It's his mind. And then it says, if my word abide in you, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, then ask what you will. Because you're asking what he wants. It comes. He asks. He does it. It's not you doing it. See, now that takes a close walk. That takes a dead person. Because if the person is there, it's going to get in the way. Now, people today, a lot of modernists believe that the days of miracles are past. They don't believe there's such a thing as a miracle. But yet, I believe that the word is full of miracles. I believe the paradox is constantly. There's constantly stuff going on. As God's bringing his word to pass, it's constantly going on. For instance, I believe that every born-again member of the body of Christ is a paradox in themselves. Because they were something that was the usual, you know, just like most other people in the world. And then all of a sudden they become something different. They don't act and move and make decisions the same way anymore. I believe every born-again member of the body of Christ is a paradox in themselves. I believe each one of you Methodists, Presbyterian, Lutheran, that never had experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was in some formal church that did not believe in the genuine new birth and has now received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is a perfect example of a paradox. You dwelt one way one time, now you think completely unexpectedly. One time the naked woman walking down the street in town would make you turn around. Now You think of your Lord and keep walking. Because something happened to you that changed your whole being. And anyone could look at that and know that what a paradox is, a miracle. Unless that happens, you cannot be a Christian. Unless that happens, you're not a Christian. It's getting real plain and laying it out there now. There must be a paradox. Brother Bram said a minister has no business ministering until he's had a backside of the desert experience. Same thing. You know, business calling ourselves Christians unless this has happened. There must be a paradox for you to become a Christian. Because no one can change a spirit in a man and give him new birth outside of God. So you ain't going to do it. You're not going to change yourself. God alone is the only one can do it. And it's a miracle how that God can take a man's thinking and his ways and life and everything and change it from what it was to what it can be, he can make it. Amen. So he goes and starts talking about this young boy that he got called out to ask a question about. And he's explaining, we'll start part of the way down there. He did something wrong to the little girl, and much as promised her to do a certain thing and then didn't do it. And instead of coming to the girl and apologizing like a gentleman should do, it just wasn't in him to do it. And the father and mother called me to the scene and said, "We would desire to know what is wrong with our boy." Now, it's not easy to do something. It's not easy to do sometime, but you must be truthful and honest. Therefore, the boy was a Christian as far as a believer. He had repented and had been baptized and had his position amongst the believers, but yet had not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, no matter how much he thought he had. This is all too common, I'm afraid. The thinking you have and having it is two different things, two completely different things. You might be able to try to say you have, and you might be able to show some evidence of some emotion, but unless your life is vindicated, and what does vindicated mean? Proved. And who does the proving? God does the proving. Unless your life is vindicated, what you're professing to have, you still haven't got it. Unless the life that you got is vindicating what you say you have, you still don't have it. No matter how many emotions, how much you jump, run, sensation, speaking in tongues, shouting, whatever you might want to lay it on, whatever sign you might want to lay it upon, which is all right. I believe in all that too. But unless your life copes with your testimony, then you haven't got it. Because the fruit of the Spirit vindicates what you are, just like the fruit of any tree tells what it is. Jesus said, "By their fruit ye shall know them." And I've heard people say he changed that later on. Well, he didn't change that. Brother Branham magnified it. Because you notice what he says here, just like the fruit of any tree tells what it is. And Jesus Christ is the tree. And if you're taking of the tree, you're not going to prove just what people call the fruit of the Spirit. It's going to be the fruit of every word that's written there. Because that is what you're partaking of. That's what you're going to produce. Every word. Right. Brother Ram said, live me a sermon. And many try to preach them, but few live them. Now, the father of that boy, going on with this story, is strictly an Irishman. Moody, high-tempered, high-strung. That's his whole family like that. Except one other out of the family converted. So now, he's trying to tell them what's wrong with their boy, because that's what they ask him. So he goes back and he's pointing at the fleshly line of them. All of his family's this way. It's a trait of the genes of the flesh. This is why he's acting this way. Except for the one that's converted, who isn't acting that way, said. Now, in this boy, the father and mother both are Christians, filled with the Holy Ghost. And they have brought this young man up in the way of the Lord. And now the young man's about 17 or 18 years old, something along there, very fine kid. He's been a real model boy at home. Nice boy. He's still not born again. That's what he's trying to get across to him. And he'll get it here in just a minute. Doesn't matter how nice he's been at home, he's still not born again. Doesn't matter if he's been shouting and praising God and singing songs and living what looks completely right. He's still not born again. That's what he's trying to tell him. Because now it's coming out, what he's done to this girl. He's been a model boy at home all this time, but now what he's done to this girl is come out that that was in there. This is a hard message, okay? Because I got boys that's left, you know, and it's went out and things. And I see things happening in their lives, and I see myself before I was born again there in their lives, you know? And so these parents wanted him so bad to have what they had. They've raised him. Michael and Martha, they got two little ones, and they're doing the best they can to raise them the right way. And that's all we could do. And we just pray, and we pray the Lord will bring to pass in their lives what he brought into pass in our lives. And he can do it beyond anything, beyond wherever we find ourselves. It doesn't matter. He'll go find you. He'll bring it. And I was reading this morning in Paul, as he was going around to the different cities, he come into Corinth, and some of the ones were converted. And the Lord spoke to him, and he said, you stay here, because I have a lot of my people here. I thought that was so good. You stay here in Corinth, because I have a lot of my seed here. it was wrote right out in the Bible, because there's a whole bunch of my people here. And Brother Ram said, the seed runs in families. So, but we go all the ways by the word. So we don't get all tore up and worked up and everything else about it. And sometimes it might seem like I'm not concerned about the boys, but I am. We go to bed every night praying for them. We go to bed, you know, for my family. I know y'all pray for your family, I'm sure. And it isn't that we're not concerned. It's that we tell them the truth. The Lord lives the truth in us. And then we rest it. We rest it right there. We don't have control over it. The three Hebrew children, they did not have control over it. Daniel did not have control over it. What Daniel had control over was the Holy Spirit in him said, this is the word and this is where I'm standing. And that brought the flesh and everything else under control. And it did whatever that Daniel, that born again Daniel, said do. That predestinated Daniel. But we just have to leave it there. We can't fix them. You know, I remember when one of mine was here years ago. I remember this was still my study right here. I remember sitting in that room sitting across from him for an hour at a time sometimes, talking to him and having him tell me that, well, Dad, what if I just don't really feel that way? I said, I do not believe that. In other words, he doesn't feel like he needs to be a Christian and these other things. I said, I do not believe that. I said, because Brother Branham said that it's in every man's heart. I said, do you have a choice? If God did not put it in your heart to hunger for him, how could he hold you liable for something like that? And he can't. Brother Branham said, it's there. And men feel that hunger with everything else. He put it in you to worship God, and then you'll fill it with everything else, he said. So, but I spent hours. I kept changing. And we never had a cross word. I would just tell him, no, it's not going to happen. We can't do that. No, no. And brother, y'all's time's coming. I'm sure one day yours is coming. Because it always Satan makes sure to test you. And they don't stop one time. I remember Brother Don saying about one of his, saying, I know, but can I? I know, but can I? He'd tell him what was truth. I'd tell him what was truth. He said, I know, but can I? I know, but can I? Over and over and over, appealing to you as a father, as a mother, to give them something that's not, that you don't want to give them, that's not, they shouldn't have, allowing them to do these things. And after a while, it's not your say anymore. After a while, they're grown. But I don't quit believing. I don't quit believing. We keep right on believing for them. And God knows the hour and the minute that everything's going to take place. I remember them when Billy Paul left. Brother Branham said, he told him, nobody knew Billy Paul was off drinking except Brother Branham. And Brother Branham told him, said, Billy, he said, come over here and stand. He said, put your arms out. He put his arms out and the sun was shining. And it cast a cross on the side of the house. And he started talking to him about having to walk all over Christ. And Billy, he said, you can't stay. There's no knockdown, drag out or anything else. He said, Billy, you can't stay. He said, the church pays for this house. And I can't let you stay when you're doing that. He's out drinking and playing cards and doing all these other things. He said, I can't let you stay. And so Billy said, I know. Yeah, I know. He said, I'm going to get my own place. And he did. I think Billy Paul said it went on for about a year or something. But the point is, God knows when and how and everything else. It doesn't mean that we don't have a time we're going to say something. We don't have doesn't mean we don't have a time we stand on the word. Satan will make sure you have that, be called to that. And God will make sure that you'll stand right through it. It doesn't mean those things. And it's not just about being parents. It's about anything in the message that God wants to give you, that he wants to act out through your life. Any part of it. Because he's constantly, Brother Branham said, paradoxes, constantly miracles, constantly things that we would not have thought went that way. Now, we got some more on the next service where Brother Branham said Daniel needed a fence to keep him away from the lions. But God sent him the Holy Spirit, an angel. Not what people thought. Everybody thought he needed a fence, but God sent him an angel. And he goes on and on for the other things. So it's not what we think. We just abide in the word. In the word, it happens. Very fine kid. Now he's talking about this boy. Let's go on and finish this example. He's been a real model boy at home. Nice kid. And he's got a brother that's just vice versa. But the girls, the mother's family, lives close a fine church, but do you think they'd ever come over there? No. And they know it's right, but it's just not in them to ask forgiveness or ask pardoning. They just won't do it. And there's some people not born again, they'll quickly ask you, "No, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that." He's pointing at what? It's just not in them. Now, in the genes of the father and the mother of this boy, no matter how much they are converted, still remains the flesh that's been interbred out to this boy. All the things that were in that family, fighting, temper, and everything else. Therefore, the boy has got a complex in him, just like from his mother's family, and they're not forgiving, and they will not apologize, and that's where that boy stands. And I said to the father, "No matter how much you've raised him up," I said, "now look at you, out of your family, all of them drunks and fighting and shooting and cutting and so forth. And look at your mom, your family, to your mother. They're a bunch of people just sit there and won't speak, very independent, so forth, irreverent to religion." But I said, "It's not you. You're the only one of all your sisters and brothers that's sweet, kind, and forgiving. What does that? It's not cause you your effort and cause you do something. And your tree, part of that family tree, yet you have received the Holy Ghost. You're part of that flesh, but you've received the Holy Ghost. That's the thing that made you tender and sweet. It's not your people anymore. It's not the genes of your people acting anymore. It's the Holy Spirit that's acting now. It's your Christ that lives in you." And I said to the boy, "Look at your family. Practically all of them are drunks and so forth." And I said, "And how moody and high-tempered and high-strung, but you're not. You're kind and forgiving. What is it? The Holy Spirit. You're no more what you are. It's Christ in you." And see, the parents raising them like this, they thought, well, the boy is right. He is born again. He is these things. When he'd done all the stuff, he'd been baptized, he'd done all these things, but he wasn't. He wasn't any of those things. He was still the genes of their parents. I said, "Now, that same thing has to happen to your son." And the father raised up and said, "My son went to the altar. He was baptized correctly in the name of Jesus Christ and water baptism in the pool. Said, I know my son has come to Christ. You see what he based it on? That's not what he got it on. But yet he was basing his son having it on that." Satan is so deceiving. The man had the Holy Ghost. He'd received the Holy Ghost. And he thought his boy had because he'd done this, 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 and this. There's too much of that. You know, I've seen people... I'm not getting into that. "I know my son has to come." Said, "I know my son has come to Christ." And I said, "That may be all right. All the outward motions. He might be identified as a believer with the believers. But until he's regenerated, born again, I'd advise that young man to never marry a woman. He'll make hell on earth for her until that gentle, sweet, forgiving spirit of Christ comes in. Then that will be a paradox in itself. That'll be a miracle in itself. To take the very nature of a boy that's bred between mother and father, and yet in his intellectuals, he is trying his best to overcome it. He knows it's wrong, and he's trying his best to overcome it." Remember what Brother Branham said about that? He said, "If I could just quit this, if I could just quit that," he said, "just get in Christ and it's all gone." He's trying his best to overcome it. He can't do it. He'll never overcome it. Christ will have to overcome it. That's why we claim what he done for us. And that's it. You claim anything else other than what he done for you, and you got your fingers under your suspenders, popping them out, talking about how good you are. And we know where that ends. Christ will have to overcome it. When he lets Christ in, then he's already overcome then. Now listen, he's done been baptized. He done went to the altar. He's done trying to be a good boy at home. He's trying to overcome this, and he still ain't let Christ come in. That's what he just said. He said when he lets Christ come in, then he's already overcome then, when he lets Christ come in. It'll be a perfect paradox when a man is born of the Spirit of God. And I've seen critics stand off and make fun and carry on of a Holy Ghost revival. And after a while, God get a hold of that same man and change him. And here he stands right in the pulpit preaching the same thing that he once hated. Talk about a paradox. Talk about Paul. Paul was a paradox. It's a paradox. Paul was such a paradox that when they saw him show up at the door, they hollered and shut the door. Well, I know that was Peter when they thought Peter had died. But either way, they didn't. Whenever he told John to go pray for him, he was like, Paul? We know who Paul is. We don't want to get around Paul. But he said, he's got work for me. It's a paradox how that God can take the unbeliever and make a believer out of him. Now I wonder if a man thinks that miracles is past, I wonder what kind of scientific medicine you could give such a person to change that disposition in them, to take that hatred and malice and strife out. There is no one can explain it, but it's a paradox. God takes it out. He takes the hatred and the malice out, but they ain't got a medicine to do it. It's a paradox because it's a miracle of God. And when a man is changed from the person that he is to a new creature in Jesus Christ, a new creature, he becomes a new creation. Brother Bram said, I started off this title, this message was, Are You a Creation of the Word? I think is the way I did it. And he's saying here, to a new creature in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, he becomes a new creation. He's no more what he used to be. No more. There's none of it left. He's absolutely a new creation in Christ. And I just put a little note there. All right, so let's go over into accepting God's provided way at the end time. A businessman packed the article in there. The businessman's, you know, he's telling about that vision where he went behind the curtain of time. I think we're just going to call it a vision. It was a little different, usually, from the visions I have. I'd been taken from where I was at up. Didn't look to me much further than the roof of that building. And there I was in another place where I seen all those who had passed on. Many of you read the article, of course. And in there, after he had told me them was who they were, and they all were young again, and they were real. I was always afraid to die. Not afraid that I'd be lost, but I didn't want to be a spirit. I want to be a human, a man, because I always understood as a man, shake people's hands. I'd think, what if I get there and I'd meet Brother Rose and he'd be a little white cloud or something. I know it was Brother Rose. I'd know it was Brother Rose by some other sense, but I couldn't shake his hand. I couldn't talk to him. I'd wonder, wouldn't that be awful? But I thought then, when I return back, of course, I'll have a resurrection. And the scripture had never occurred to me. So he's thinking he don't want to go be a spirit because he don't understand what it is. But eventually he'd go at least be resurrected and get a body back. That scripture had never occurred to me that if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Until this happened, I guess, is what he's saying. So that morning, listen, what it says, it's calling that one a tabernacle. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. We have another tabernacle. So that morning, I had gotten up and I was thinking, boy, you're 50 years old. If you're going to do anything for the Lord, you'd better hurry up. You're going to be too old after a while. This is what he was thinking. All at once, I was caught up into this place, and I could look back and see myself down there. Never had that experience. Many times I had visions of seeing myself standing somewhere, and then, oh, if you don't understand it, you'd think you'd lost your mind. You are here watching yourself there, and then you leave here and yourself in yourself there. You're in yourself there. It's maybe way back, years ahead, and so forth. In other words, he's telling you where here and there is. It's time, basically. It's hard to explain. You can't explain it. You can't explain God. You got to believe him, see? If you can explain it, then it's no more faith. You just have to believe it. And so many times we base our idea on whether somebody believes something is whether they agree with how you said it and shook their head yes. Instead of the life that produces and lives like we really believe what we said. Because if you believe these things, it produces something. Just like the promise was given to Abraham, it produced something. It put a skip in his step. It made him happy. It changed him. He didn't just nod his head to it. And everything for 25 years that tried to make him say something else or make him believe something else, he was like, nope, the Lord told me I'm going to have a boy. And so that's what you go by. You go by that. If you got to look at somebody and decide whether they believe something. But you have the same thing. You have to live the same way. By God, living it. You can't explain God. You got to believe him, see? If you can explain it, then it's no more faith. You just have to believe it. And after he had told me, seeing all of these people, and they had bodies, there couldn't be sin. The men, the women, and women, those women were hugging me, and they were women, but there were no possibility of ever being sin again, because see, the glands of our bodies will be changed there. We're different sex now, because that's for reproducing the world and our marriage to bring children. But then there'll be no more need of that. There'll be no more children born. We won't have sex glands in the new world, see, not at all. And yet the woman will be a woman in stature and the man will be men. But there will be no more male and female among them in that way. And them glands won't be in, so there'll be no way at all for Satan to ever play another trick on them, see. So in that I noticed these women run up and throw their arms around me and say, oh, precious brother, I am so happy that you are here. Now, it was amazing. All of them young, all the most prettiest women, long hair, dresses long, you know, like robes, white silk like robes, and how pretty they looked. And then here come brethren, the most handsome men I ever seen. I looked like all of them about 20 years old, and their eyes sparkly. They just every ounce of man, and I wondered, and they were picking me up and hugging me and saying, "Our precious brother." And I wondered how I looked back down and could see myself down here, yet laying down. Well, now I thought, that's strange. And then I asked, now I brought this because it goes right along with the paradox. Brother Branham never thought of this being this way. This is one of the most basic things in the teaching, is going to heaven, and nobody knew exactly what it was like to go to heaven and what it was like. And so when Brother Branham come to it, it wasn't at all like he thought. It wasn't at all like people had thought all this time. But Brother Branham didn't go out there and try to figure it out. He just kept going, whatever God gave him, whatever God showed him, whatever step he took the next, he took that step. There's a real lovely lady come up, threw her arms around me and said, "Oh, Brother Branham, we're so happy you're here, our precious brother." And I looked at her as she went away, and the voice that was talking to me said, "Don't you recognize her?" I said, I don't. I do not. He said, "She was past 90 when you led her to Christ." Past 90. And there, see there? 90-something years. And God had his appointment ready. And there she was, the most beautiful thing I had looked at in the way of a woman. And I said, "No wonder," she said, "precious brother." See how she can never change no more. See, there's what matters. She can never change again. It was worth all his sleepless nights. See how she can never change no more. She's that way for eternity. And I said, "I want to see Jesus." Said, "He's higher than this. Someday he'll come and you'll be judged for the gospel that you preached because you was the leader." I said, "Well, will Paul have to be judged by his crowd?" He said, "Yes." I said, "I preached the same gospel he did, just exactly the way he said it. That's the way I said it." And what did they say? Talk about an amen. And then millions of voices screamed out, "We're resting on that." They're resting on what was taught. They're resting on what Christ done. They're resting on what he's done. They're resting on that, not on their morals, not on their anything else. God will produce all that. Could you imagine an amen for millions of people? Brother Don said he was in the Congo, I think it was, and it was like 5,000. He said that was pretty something for 5,000 people to say amen. Then a strange thing happened. I used to have a little saddle horse, and I called him Prince. And now I love that little old horse. And I used to ride him every morning for school, run my traps, and sing this little old horse come up to me and lay his head across my shoulder and nicker. And I patted him and I said, "Prince, I knew you'd be here." And I felt something lick my hand. It was my old coon dog. He put me in school, furnished my clothes, hunting. I said, "Prince or Fritz, I knowed you'd be here too." Then I felt something happen. And I was going back. And that was wrote in the Christian businessman's voice. And a minister wrote me the other day and said, "I appreciated that vision, Brother Branham. It sounded all very good until you mentioned horses. Heaven is made for human beings." Like he knows what heaven's made for. Heaven is made for human beings. There's no such a thing as horses in heaven. Finding fault. And something he has no idea what he's talking about. And so Brother Branham took him to the message to show him that he was completely wrong. Took him to the Bible. Well, I said, I answered him back and I said, brother, called him a brother. I never said I was in heaven. I was asking where Jesus was and he was still beyond. And I said, but if it might help you a little, the book of Revelation, it says, when Jesus left the heaven of heavens, he was riding a white horse. And all the host of heaven was following him on white horses. See? Just take what it says. Quit trying to make stuff out of it. See? So that was coming from the heaven of heavens. And that made me feel so good. When I started to go back, I said, all that you ever loved and all that ever loved you, God has given to you. Some bright day on the other side, it'll be different. You just can't afford, people, to miss that place. Don't do it. Whatever you do, don't be afraid. There is no need of being scared. There is nothing to be afraid of. Oh, when I thought to come back, it made me sad. Well, I have to go back again. Will I have to go back? Will I have to go back to what I was afraid of being? See? Let me read that again. Will I have to go back again? Will I have to go back to what I was afraid of being? See? And then when we come to the resurrected body, then we will eat and drink. They don't eat and drink. They don't eat and drink there. They shook his hand. They hugged his neck, but they don't eat and drink. They had no need of eating and drinking. That they wasn't doing, going nowhere, and they wasn't tired. There's no word that I could use. It was perfect. That wouldn't make it, the word perfect. It's beyond what I call perfect. They had just arrived. That's the way you've arrived. That was the way of phrase they say back then. When you got the best, you have arrived, you know. That was it at that place, and it was wonderful. So, oh, listen, friends, I think I'm in my right mind, and I know it sounds strange, but I've never been able and never tried to explain to people these things. Many things is beyond explaining. He can't explain to you what that's like, but just from what he said, just from that testimony, I want it so much. See, he didn't even explain what it was. He just told a few things about it. And for some reason in us, it's real and we want it. And you'd only confuse the people's mind. But if I could and felt to do so, it would be alarming. Just note, but notice this. I say this, don't be afraid. Death is just a scarecrow trying to keep you away from something. My, it's so glorious. It's beyond anything that you could think of. No wonder the Bible said, eye has not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered the hearts of men what God has for them in store that love him. Oh, just to look past the curtain of time. Time is a curtain that was hiding what God has for them. Then I tried harder than ever. I've tried harder than ever before in my life to try to win people to Christ since then. You can't afford to miss it. Don't do it. Be sure that you're right with God. Be sure. And other things will be all right. That's exactly what he said. That's exactly what the scripture says. All right, so one more quote here, I think. This is in Only Provided Place of Worship. You're sealed in there. You're beneath the blood. You don't go out no more. You think about this life that we're talking about. You don't go out no more. And then, what are you? When you're sealed in there and you don't go out no more, then what are you? God's son in God's family, sealed in by the Holy Ghost. The devil couldn't get you if he had to. You're sealed, and there's no way for him to get to you, period. For you are dead, your old husband part is dead, and you're buried, and your life is hid in God through Christ, and sealed by the Holy Ghost. How's he going to get you? How you're going to get out? You can't get out and he can't get in. You're there. Glory. Now, I'll leave that alone just enough so you'll know what I'm talking about. Then a new creation. Not to a denomination, not a perversion of what God created. Not a denomination, but to the Word, a new creation to the Word. You're a creation of the Word. Because you're a creation of the Word now, because the foundation stone was laid in you before the foundation of the world. The foundation of being a son in God, being a creation of the Word, that foundation was laid in you before the foundation of the world. Predestinated to be sons and daughters of God. And there is nothing can stop that. Not anything. There's no struggle then, brother and sister. There's no struggle. There's no struggle to live the truth and to be a Christian when you're in this. And I've heard so many people make so many excuses for bad behavior when the prophet said, it's gone. It's gone. And Satan will give you every excuse he can for bad behavior. And Brother Branham said he had the worst temper of anybody he knew. The absolute worst temper. And in fact, he gave that example where he got mad at them boys for making fun of him, calling him something. I forgot what it was they called him. But he got a gun, filled it up with bullets, and went out there and waited in the road, or waited on the side of the road. This is premeditated. This took an hour or two to do. And this is how much he was angry. And then he got out there and pulled the trigger on all the bullets. All of them is a repeater. I think he said it was a repeater. And none of them fired. So them boys scattered and ran every which direction, scared to death. In fact, when he stepped out, he said, all right, which one of y'all wants to go first? He was playing it. He was so angry. And then they left, and he took the bullets, put them back in the gun, and every one of them fired. God taking care of him in that anger. That he talked about, he was born the genes of his father. But God was watching over him. But that desire to kill him was there. He wanted him dead. They'd done him wrong. And then years later, we hear he's born again. Brother Bram tells about being born again. And he goes down and he comes somewhere and some woman says some foul stuff about his mother. And he said that before he would have told her what for. He said, but now, even after she said those things to him, all he could think about was her soul. Mm-hmm. And he talk about a paradox. No man can do that. So men can preach a sermon, but there's only one can live a sermon. And that's Jesus Christ. And when we look at the prophet, we look at brothers and sisters that are born again, and we see that life in them. We see it living out. That makes us rejoice and happy, and we want to find someone else to make that way, to help them. And sometimes I wonder if Satan has got to the point where he's convinced us that nobody's going to listen. To the point that if God said, go talk to this one, would we still do it? You know? And I believe that Christian will. He'll listen. She'll listen. And I know there's just three of us here. And so I don't, when I preach, I don't think I'm preaching one of y'all or anything else. I'm not doing that. I said I would never do that. And the Lord help me. I'm not ever going to do that. And so if Satan tries to tell you I'm talking to you or you or you, that's not true. We want the message. Okay. And that's all we want. We don't want anything else. We don't want our ideas. We don't want to accept it with our this thing. And we got to hear it with this thing to know what's been said. The little woman at the well, it registered what's been said. But that ain't what done it. It was the I am he that done it. See? When she recognized those words, when he said, I am he, she believed it indiscriminately. Now, she was all worried about pretense here. You shouldn't be asking me for water. Now she done throw the water down and went to town to tell everybody who had scorned her and wouldn't go down to the water, you know, the society that was against her. It didn't matter. All that was thrown aside now. I am he is here. Come see I am he. And so I think the bride is there. We should be there. And I'm sorry for rambling on there, but that was on my heart, so I had to get it off. Well, I don't know if it's all the way off because we got one more, I think. But let's stand and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to you, ending the service, Lord, I know I jumped all around and I got emotional over and over. But Lord, you know my heart. You know that there's nothing there but your word, Lord. It's everything to us. And we want to live that way, Lord, by the word. And we believe that you're bringing it to pass, Lord, just like those Hebrew children. Believe that word no matter whether you come down there to deliver them or not. And Lord, we are so thankful for it and trust in you, Lord, every day to bring it to pass because we're just sheep, Lord, in a world of a bunch of wise and wisdom wolves, Lord. And may we just walk on in your light, Lord, live by your word. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.